Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Ignite potential today. As a Tardi Mechanach Yomi listener, you connect with us and we connect with you, the Women's Initiative, daily for 2 years. A $100 gift today works out to 7 cents a day, $250, 33 cents a day. So before you move on with your day, support the OU Women's Initiative. And if you've already given, thank you. Share the link with friends and family, upreaching.com/OU/WI giving to ignite potential, your learning, your leadership, our community. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we will be learning Sefer Melachim Beis Perek He, Chapter 5. Here we are introduced to someone brand new, although Chazal tell us not completely new, as the commentaries will share. Verse 1. V'naaman sar tziva melech Aram haya ish gadol lifnei Adonav unesu panim. Naaman, the general of Aram, was extremely famous, popular, and influential. But the pasuk here gives us a hint as to how he achieved his fame. Kivona san Hashem teshua la'aram, because Hashem had given a huge victory to Aram through him. What is the backstory here? Remember back at the end of Melachim Aleph, there was this war that Ahav, the king of Malchus Yisrael, and Yehoshaphat, the king of Malchus Yehuda, had fought against Aram? The war that the Navi had told the kings not to fight, but they went anyways? The war that the Navi said Ahav would die in, but he rejected the warning? We recall that Ahav had gone to this battle in disguise, but Hashem wanted him dead. And there was this Arami soldier who was just playing with his bow and arrow, and it slipped, and he shot, and who did it hit? Ahav! Now, we know the ramifications and consequences for the Jewish people, and for the family of Ahav, but what about this soldier? The Medrash Tehillim tells us this was Naaman, and this no-name soldier now became so famous as the hero of Aram. He had single-handedly won the war, killed the king. He became so influential and up there, but he had a problem. And the end of Pasuk Aleph tells us, V'ha'ish hayagibor chayel mitzora. He was a warrior with tzora'as. Malbim informs us this is not leprosy that we know now as the bacterial infection Hansen's disease. This is the spiritual condition that is spoken of in the Torah. And the proof, he says, is that with this condition, Naaman was still able to stay in his position as general of the army in Aram. But of course, it was highly inconvenient. Verse 2. Ve'aram yatzu gedudim, v'yishbu me'eretz Yisrael na'ara ketana, v'tehi lifnei eshes Naaman. Aram had gone out with their troops, and they captured from Eretz Yisrael a young girl, and she was before the wife of Naaman. Rashi says this was not a true battle with any constructive purpose. This was when bored soldiers would just go and plunder, kill, rob, and attack. And in their attack, they captured a girl from Eretz Yisrael who became the maid of Naaman's wife. Interestingly, in verse 3, this girl, who sees her master's condition, correctly diagnoses it as tzaras, advises her mistress that they have been going about this the wrong way. If he wants to ever be cured, he needs to stop running from one doctor to another and should go instead to the Navi in Shomron. So in Pasuk, Dalet and Hey, verse 4 and 5, his king grants him permission to go, even sending him with a huge gift for the king of Yisrael and a letter of introduction, 10 talents of silver, 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 suits of clothing. And so Naaman goes to the king of Yehoram, hoping to be directed to this prophet Elisha. Yehoram's response is shocking, but after our introduction to him in Perek Gimel, maybe not so much. Verse 7, Vayihi kikro melech Yisrael es ha-sefer, vayikra bigadav. When the king of Yisrael read the letter from the king of Aram, he tore his clothing. Vayomer ha-elokim ani lahamis ulahachayos? Am I a god who has the power to give and take away life? Ki ze sholeach elai la-sofes ish mitzarato, that he sends me this man to cure from tzora'as? You should know and see that he is looking for an excuse to start a war against me. Tearing clothes is a sign of mourning. In Yehoram's eyes, he has already been unsuccessful at curing Naaman. The furious Aram has already started a war, and he has already been defeated. This is almost comical. Nobody thought that Yehoram had the power to cure Tzoras. Why doesn't he remember that he can turn to Elisha for help? Again, this is the catch-22 that Yehoram keeps finding himself in. Unwilling to admit his mistakes and change his ways, he avoids Elisha, knowing that each encounter with him will be uncomfortable and probably include some painful reality checks and rebukes. Do we do that in our lives? Allow ourselves to get stuck in unhealthy habits and disastrous situations rather than face our own weaknesses and make real changes? Well, Elisha hears what has happened and sends a message in Pasuches, verse 8. Vayehi kishmo Elisha ish Elokim ki kara melech Yisrael es begadav. When Elisha hears that the king of Israel has torn his clothes, vayishlach al melech el hamelech lemar, he sends a message to the king saying, lama karata begadecha? Why did you tear your clothes? Yavona elai v'yedaki ish navi b'Yisrael. Let him come to me and know that there is a prophet in the Jewish nation. His message is clear, explains Mitsudos. I am going to help him, but not because you, Yehoram, deserve this. You don't. I will help him in order to bring out a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name. Let him know, let the world know, that Hashem is with his people, that we have prophets with real dialogue with Hashem. Verse 9. Vayavo Naaman b'susavu v'rechbo. Naaman arrived with his horses and chariots. Vayamod Pesach habayis l'Elisha, and he stood in the doorway of Elisha's home. Pasuk Tes tells us that Naaman arrives at the home of Elisha with pomp and circumstance, with his horses and chariots. He wants Elisha to know that he is a VIP and needs to be treated with respect. There is a pattern here. Like so many people who have risen suddenly in status and stature due to circumstances and not of their own merit, Naaman is arrogant and paranoid. He constantly needs validation and honor. Elisha is not impressed and doesn't even come to the door himself. Verse 10. Vayishlach elav Elisha malach lemar. Elisha sends a messenger to him saying, Haloch v'rachatzta sheva pa'amim bayarden. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Yarden. V'yashov b'sarcha lecha utahar. And your flesh will return to you and you will be purified. Naaman is furious. Verse 11. Vayiktov Naaman. Vayilach. He is furious and he walks off. Vayomer, and he said, Hine amarti elai yitze yatzova amad v'kara b'shem Hashem alokav. I said to myself that he would come out to me and stand and cry out in the name of Hashem his God. Vehe nifyado al hamakom, and wave his hand over the place. Va'asaf hamitzora, and cure the leprosy. What's his problem here? Arrogant people are always being insulted because they have such high standards of how they are to be treated. Mitsudas David explains that that was the issue here. It's all about his expectations. There were two aspects that enraged him. I am such an important person. I expected him to come out in my honor and show me respect. He sends me a messenger. And in terms of the cure, I expected a showy, fancy miracle, including waving of the hands over the rash. Malbim tells us there was a good reason why Elisha does this miracle through a messenger, and it's not just to put Naaman in his place. Remember, for Elisha, it's all about Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of God's name. He wants to be very clear that it is God doing this miracle, not some sort of talent he has. It's not about me, it's about Hashem. But the arrogant Naaman doesn't get it and continues to tantrum. In verse 12, Halo tov amana uparpar naharos damesek, miko meimei Yisrael, halo erchatz bahem v'taharti, vayifen vayelech bechema. There are two famous rivers, Amana uparpar, the rivers of Damesek. They are better than all the waters of Israel. I could wash in them and become pure. And he turns and stomps off in anger. You're sending me to a river? We have world-famous rivers, Amana uparpar. People come from all over the world to these rivers for their healing qualities. Why on earth would I come to yours? Actually, these two rivers still exist in Damascus, Syria. Well, he actually storms off, but Naaman was lucky. He had some wise servants who were perhaps used to his ways. Vayikshu avada vayidabru elav. And his servants approached him and spoke to him. Vayomru, and they said, Avi, davar gadol hanavi diber elacha, halo ta'aseh, va'af ki amar elacha rachatu tahar. We'll translate this pasuk according to Rashi. Had the Navi told you to do something difficult and painful in order to be cured, something big, you would have done it. You would have climbed mountains, fasted, lifted 100 pounds. You would have done anything. And all he's telling you to do is dunk in the Yarden 7 times and you are refusing? Just do it. And so he does. In verse 14, he goes down and he dips in the Yarden 7 times like the word of the Ish Elokim, and his flesh returned like the flesh of a Na'ar Katon, a young lad, by Yitar, and he was purified. And that's not even the greatest part of the miraculous transformation, because in verse 15, we find a changed Naaman. Miracles are meant to be transformational experiences, and in this verse, we see exactly that. He has been exposed to Hashem's power to heal, Hashem's power over nature. He has experienced a nace firsthand, and he knows that nothing can ever be the same for him. In this sefer, describing lost opportunities and lessons falling on deaf ears and of eyes shut tight to messages from Hashem, it is so moving and inspiring to finally meet someone who experiences a lesson and actually makes a change. Similar to the recognition of Yisro and Rachav before him, we read verse 15. Vayashav el Ish Elokim hu v'chol machanehu. Ish Elokim, he returns to the Ish Elokim with his whole camp. Vayavo vayamod lefanav, and he stands before him. Vayomer, and he says, Hine na yadati ki ein Elokim b'chol haaret ki im b'Yisrael. Now I know that there is no God in all the land but in Israel. Vata kachna bracha me'esavdecha, please take a gift from your servant. In verse 16, Elisha responds, by the life of God before whom I have stood, if I would take. Vayiftar bo lakachas, he begs him to take. Vayima'ein, and he refuses. Elisha is going to protect this Kiddush Hashem and allow it to remain in its pristine form. I will not allow you to pay me for Hashem's miracle. I will not accept payment for the actions of Hashem. I don't want anyone ever to associate this miracle with anyone other than God himself. And so in verse 17, Naaman has an interesting and moving request. Vayomer Naaman, V'layutana la'avdacha masa tzemed pradim adama. Could it please be given to your servant the load of a pair of mules worth of dirt? Ki lo yaseh od avdecha ola v'zevach l'elohim acherim ki im l'Hashem. Because your servant will not make any more sacrifices to any other gods, only to Hashem. Could I ask you for some earth to take back to Aram? I will never serve avodah zarah again. I want to make an altar for Hashem, and I want to build it on holy ground. I recognize the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, and I want to take some home with me. The commentaries here note how different this Naaman is, how far he has grown from the entitled, self-obsessed official. He is actually asking permission for dirt. And that is not all. One of the most common realities is the ephemeral nature of inspiration. We get inspired, get excited, achieve clarity, and hold on to it for a week, a day? That is what makes this action of Naaman so moving and instructive. He takes a real step to hold on to his commitment. He is never going to serve pagan gods again, and he will have his earth from Eretz Yisrael to serve as a tangible reminder of what he now feels so strongly. The Gemara Gittin clarifies that Naaman is not becoming a ger. He is not converting to Judaism. Rather, he will behave as a ger toshav, one who commits to keeping the 7 Noachide mitzvos. And then he asks his first shaila. Part of holding on to new resolutions is taking a careful look at possible pitfalls and weak areas in advance. And Naaman has a problem. His position in Aram is so close to the king that when the king goes to his temple in Beis Rimon, he leans on Naaman. So when he bows at the temple, Naaman will be bowing as well. Will Hashem forgive me? Elisha, in verse 19, tells him to go in peace, meaning that this would not pose a problem for him. Again, the Gemara Yushalmi clarifies, as a non-Jew who does not have the obligation of sanctifying God's name. And he leaves a changed and inspired Naaman. But then enters Gehazi, who we are reminded is the attendant of Elisha, who in many ways represents Elisha, but who is so flawed and so dangerous, because in verse 20 he says, Hine chasach Adoni es Naaman Arami hazeh. My master has prevented this Naaman mikachas miadoas asher hevi from taking from him what he has brought. Chai Hashem ki imratzdi acharav. By the life of God, I will run after him. V'lakachti me'ito me'uma. And I will take a nothing from him. Don't we do this? Minimize and rationalize mistakes we make? It's just nothing. It's no big deal. And in verse 21, he reaches Naaman, who falls off of his chariot to greet him. After all, this is the attendant of the great Elisha. And Naaman says, Hashalom, is everything okay? Gehazi smoothly responds, Oh yes, just my master sent me, because two lads, two B'nai Nevi'im, have just shown up from Har Ephraim. He asked me to ask you for one silver talent and two changes of clothing? Of course, there were no boys. In verse 23, Vayomer Naaman Ho'el, Kach ki karayim. And Naaman answers, Ho'il, take two talents. What is Ho'il? Mesudas David explains it to mean, certainly. Again, the brand new inspired Naaman, who would never dream that Elisha's right-hand man would lie and steal. I wanted so badly to pay Elisha something. I'm so glad to give it to you. But Rashi says, Ho'il means swear. Swear that he sent you. There is something suspicious about this story. And we can almost hear the disappointment and disillusionment in Naaman's voice as the Kiddush Hashem, that beautiful moment of inspiration, that there is none like Hashem and none like his people and none like his prophets, has now been tarnished by Gehazi. In fact, Naaman sends two of his lads to carry the money and clothing, or perhaps to check that they are in fact being given to these mysterious lads from Har Ephraim. Undeterred, Gehazi stops at the entrance of the city at a tower, pretending that this is the storage spot for these B'nai Nevi'im, gives orders in the tower, perhaps to his sons who were part of this plot. And then the ever-smooth Gehazi returns to his post next to Elisha, who asks him in verse 25, Me'ayin, Gehazi, where are you coming from, Gehazi? To which Gehazi responds, Vayomer, lo halach avdecha ana va'ana, your servant did not go anywhere. That is the final straw. The Ralbag says, even up till this moment, Gehazi could have done teshuva. But now, after this, Elisha cries out to him, Really? Didn't my heart see as a man turns his chariot around for you? Gehazi, I saw the whole thing. Did you forget that I'm a Navi? I see everything. In fact, Elisha continues and says, Is this the right time to take money, clothing, olives, vineyards, sheep, cattle, servants, and maids? Not only do I know what you took, I know what you were thinking of purchasing with the money. And now, in perfect midah keneged midah, commensurate to his actions, in verse 27, V'tzora'as Naaman tidbak becha uvizaracha la'olam. The leprosy of Naaman will cling to you and your children forever. Vayetze milfanav mitzoraka shaleg, and he left from him with leprosy as snow. One of the many lessons we can take from this parak is, of course, the tremendous responsibility we have as Hashem's children to act as an or l'goyim, a light unto the nations, ambassadors of Hashem, a kiddush Hashem, an inspiration. We see that so clearly in Elisha, who seizes the opportunity to demonstrate the power of Hashem to Naaman. And we, of course, tragically see the opposite in Gehazi. And whether we admit it or not, or want it or not, we always are seen and judged as the nation of Hashem, and therefore, we must make sure we are behaving in an exemplary fashion. No one should ever be confused or disappointed or disillusioned by our behavior, how we conduct business, how we treat others, how we speak, and in this digital world, even how we post. We have two clear pictures in our chapter, the inspiration that is Elisha and the disappointment that is Gehazi. May we always choose to be like Elisha. But the other postscript to this parak is, shockingly, Elisha is punished for this strong reaction. Chazal tell us that one of the illnesses Elisha will suffer is for the moment when he pushed Gehazi away, metaphorically, with two hands. giving him the impression with this Tzora'as that will never go away, that he can never do teshuvah, that with this mistake, Gehazi has gone past the point of no return. And even though we are rightly horrified by Gehazi's ugly behavior, by his misuse of his position, by his greed and willingness to betray everything and everyone for his own benefit, Elisha is his Rebbe, and there is always room for teshuvah. Thank you for studying together Li'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacies to the next generation.